This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
He's only been in office for 6 weeks. Seems like 6 years, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And he's been going around with his cronies touting his so-called landslide and blowout win. But he won the popular vote by 1.5%, mm-hmm. one of the smallest ever.
Mm-hmm.
And he won the general election by less than 50%. So what kind of mandate is this really?
Well, it is a mandate, and I'm going to explain why. And I don't mind the question, but let me be very clear. I'm no supporter of Trump. I'm a supporter of truth and the facts. And here's the facts. The man won every swing state. He increased in terms of his voter turnout in his favor from the standpoint of blacks, Latinos, and young voters. He increased his numbers in that regard from 2020. 89% of the counties shifted to the right. That's a mandate. We can sit up there and play around all we want to. In 2020, Trump didn't win the popular vote. He didn't win the Electoral College vote. A matter of fact, the Republicans had won the popular vote, if I remember correctly, since 2004. Yeah. But they did this year. So 20 years after they last won the popular vote, they won the popular vote. They won the Electoral College vote. The man won every swing state. And on top of it, all 89% of the counties shifted against. I don't understand how people can look at that and say, there's no mandate. There's a mandate.
Well, it's a different definition of a mandate, I guess.
But the problem is that if you're the Democratic Party and you lost 49.8% to 48.3%, and you're looking at that 1.5% dip, that's an excuse for you to say, what we did really wasn't that bad.
Well, some people didn't
we should continue
up.
To do that.
Don't continue to do it.
Find a new strategy.
Joy Bayar says, maybe we have a different definition of a mandate. Bro lays out county after county after swing state after popular vote in decades' time, and Joy Behar's like, well, I just think mandate means something different. She probably thinks it's sexist.
he took away most of those arguments, though.
Not to her.
He was taking away every gender argument, every race argument.
Donald Trump last night, in his joint address to Congress, gave a State of the Union. He has, just like Joy Behar says, I enjoyed that from the very beginning that clip started playing. He's been in office for 6 weeks, but it feels like 6 years already. My goodness. Like, she can't handle it. We are into this 6 weeks. We've got a lot of ground to cover yet here. And basically, Stephen A. Smith is who you just heard speaking there, who was on The View. And he has been touting this from when the campaign was still going on, from when the election was still taking place. Saying, like, Democrats, whatever this is, this ain't it. Whatever you're thinking that you're hitting out of the park right now, you're swinging and missing, and you don't even realize it. He has said on his, is it a podcast? I think it's a podcast. He has said, you know what? I don't know who the Democrats have picked to take over for this party. Maybe it should be me. He has casually thrown his name out there to be the guy who gets the Democratic Party back on track, because he knows that the cuckoo birds on The View are so far gone. They are gone. They are non-recoverable, unrecoverable. Disrecoverable. Which one is it? Unrecoverable?
Yeah, I don't think it's dis.
I was just throwing it out there for effect. That may be one of the first two ones I said.
It's either dis or dat.
Dad? That the View represents a certain element of this Democratic Party, and we saw it last night at the joint address. Now, we're going to talk about the joint address today. We're not going to talk the entire show about the joint address today, but we have Kayleigh McEnany coming on in about 15 minutes. Very excited to have her on the show to get her thoughts on what next. Donald Trump has laid out a lot of progress over the course of 6 weeks in office. We've done this, we've done that, we've done this, we've done that, over and over and over again. You can assess what took place last night in several different ways, and they're valid ways. The first is the speech. Donald Trump goes up there, delivers the speech, gives receipts of things that they are done. And I have the reason why I wanted to go back, and I put this on X, I just went back and listened to the speech. I listened at it two times the speed. I don't know if you were in here when it happened, but Brad was in here and Ethan was in here. But the funniest part was when like they'd start, the Republicans would start a USA chant or a Trump chant or at the end of fight chant. It's like fight, 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 fight. When it's two times the speed.
No, I didn't hear that.
They're like super enthusiastic. There is such positivity, such tangible energy on the right side of the aisle right now. The other part, if you want, you know, like I said, we can discuss the speech. We can talk about how he delivered it, what he decided to highlight. And what I heard was we're doing all of these positive things and we are going back to the question about what was discussed there on The View. Was Donald Trump given a mandate? Because if you listen to him last night, he wasn't even asking the question. A few times he reminded the people who were listening, I have a mandate, and oh, you better believe I am going to use every single square inch of that mandate on behalf of the American people. At one point, he talks about the presidency as our presidency. And he clearly is focused on this swath of policies he wants to be implemented, wrongs that he wants to right, things that he wants to do that he has had to have been stewing on for years now. Stewing on, yes, as we've seen many times before, when he gets the opportunity to talk about 2020, he has a thing. He goes through the spiel. You know what he's going to say. He goes through the different stories. Since 2020, when he lost that election, when he didn't become the president once again, he has had that time to think about what was happening in his absence, what would be done in his presence. And in the midst of all of that, they decided to try to attack him. They tried to tear him down. They tried to kill him. Which is why he has zero fudge brownies given when he's standing up at that podium with J.D. Vance, everybody's dad in church, sitting up there. When the kids are getting out of line, you give them the look. And when they get too out of line, do you want me to take you out of church? Do you want to go out? Because you know what's going to happen if I take you out of church. And some of them are like, yeah, I'd like to go. I'd like to challenge you, Dad. And then they get bounced. And Mike Johnson just sits back there. He's kind of like a robot. He's so mechanical. He's a lawyer. He seems like a money guy to me. He seems like somebody who is very analytical and the politics part of it. He's a genuine guy. But he's not really animated. You can't tell on his person when he's sitting back there. He's really good at the politics part of it. You can't really tell his personality or his character really by what he's just doing the right things because that's what you're supposed to do. J.D. Vance, you know who J.D. Vance is when you watch him sit there. He's like doing the slow head tilt, looking up out of the top of his eyes at the doofuses in the Democrat Party who are being obnoxious. He's like fist pumping when things are going really well. It's like watching a sporting event with J.D. Vance. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful to take in. I watched it last night for everybody who joined us on the YouTube live stream. Thank you for doing that. I put that up and I was helping with a science fair project, which was the priority last night with my daughter, to make sure that she had the help that she wanted to get that done. But we had the stream going and I listened. I was like 80% focused on what was being said. So I went back and I listened to it and it was even better the second time. What'd you think, Brian?
I had no expectations going into this speech because we have seen so much of Trump that it wasn't like, ooh, we get to hear from the president. You know, we get to hear from the president every day. And in fact, he's so entertaining or engaging or whatever you want to say to listen to, even if you hate him. He's like a magnet. You listen to him. That Fox News, you know, runs full briefings of stuff that probably every president, maybe not Joe Biden, but most presidents do. And yet he's able to make it kind of entertaining. And so you want to watch it. So going into the speech, I wasn't really expecting much because I thought, well, I already know what we're dealing with here. And he still kind of hit a home run to me. I mean, it was a good speech.
Yeah, it was a really great speech. Our YouTube live chat poll for today is, does President Trump have a mandate from the American people? Yes or no? If you just listen to that clip from the View with Stephen A. Smith, the View would like to redefine the word mandate so they can say he doesn't have it. Stephen A. Smith clearly lays out that he thinks the Trump administration does. Listen to this speech, or this part of the speech last night, where Donald Trump talks about the popular vote.
We won the popular vote by big numbers and won counties in our country.
So this is when Al Green stands up, shakes his cane. You can't even make this stuff up. He's shaking his cane at Donald Trump. This is very telling, and it's going to get looked over quite a bit with the Al Green shenanigans. They can't accept that he won the popular vote. They still, 6 weeks in, all of these things that Donald Trump is saying he's doing, has done, or will do, they have not yet, as of March 5th, the great, great irony of it, accepted the results of the last election. They can't handle it. It turns their stomach. They put their hands over their ears and they say, la, 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 I'm not listening. And then they just pretend as though reality is something that they prefer. They pretend as though what is real is fantasy and what their fantasy is real. And in the midst of all of this, when Donald Trump says that he won the popular vote and they're pushing back on it, as long as that's the way the Democrat Party wants to operate, they'll never win again. Not in any capacity, because they embarrassed themselves last night. The Democrat Party, above all else, not surprising to me, maybe not surprising to you, this Democrat Party, which has no true north to follow, cares only about the Democrat Party to the peril of the Democratic Party. They don't have a focused understanding of what Americans are dealing with, how we want our country to be managed, how we want our country to be respected. They don't get it. And when the American people say, in my opinion, with great mandate, it's one thing to look at, we won all the swing states. That's crazy that he won all the swing states. It's another thing. It's 89% of counties in our country shifted Republican.
That's what the latest stat says. Yeah,
that's wild. Donald Trump comes back and wins the popular vote after being slandered and ridiculed and shot at for the last 15 years, 10 years that he's been on the political scene. And he has gained this support in the worst, most challenging climate that could possibly have existed. And I think the reason why the left can't really stomach it, I think the reason why the Democrats sit and turn their heads towards their phones and scroll social media while children with brain cancer, who have beaten brain cancer, are honored in the people's house, the reason why they can't avert their eyes from scrolling some social media feed on their phone to acknowledge the moment that is an American moment, is because they don't know how to win anymore. They could only win when they would cheat. And yeah, you know, you could talk to Donald Trump about what happened in 2020. That's not the cheating I'm talking about. I'm talking about the deep state. I'm talking about the bureaucracy. I'm talking about the tentacles of the swamp that have made their way into Washington, D.C. to ensure that nothing, nothing like this would ever happen again. They fortified themselves from having to compete They wrapped the media up into it. They made sure that the message and the messenger were always in lockstep, pre-laundered before it ever gets to you via the way they tell stories and which stories they choose to tell and which ones will never see the light of day. They rigged the system and they were doing so well at it that all of their muscles have atrophied. They don't understand how to compete, and they certainly don't understand how to win, so much so they can't even believe that they lost. And they lost in such a glorious way that it can't be doubted. It can't be challenged. And for them, they can't even accept it. Which ironically will lead to more peril for them in the future. And also, somewhat ironically, lead to more American greatness in the future. As long as this version of this Democratic Party is not near the reins of power, we will head back into American greatness. And last night was a great example of it. An amazing speech by President Donald Trump, an absolute shameful display by Democrats who won't even acknowledge the victory that Donald Trump won, which is rich, rich after the last 4 years. But in the meantime, it's not going to slow Trump down one bit. Kayleigh McEnany is going to join us when we come back. She is, of course, the co-host of Outnumbered on Fox. She's a former White House press secretary. She's got books out that are great. I highly recommend them, including Serenity in the Storm. And we're going to ask her about her reaction to the joint address to Congress, or as I put it last night, the State of the Union-ish from Donald Trump yesterday evening. Kayleigh McEnany, next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The media and our friends in the Democrat Party kept saying we needed new legislation. We must have legislation to secure the border. But it turned out that all we really needed was a new president.
There's Donald Trump last night at the joint address to Congress. And I mean, boy, that kind of sums up the whole thing, doesn't it? 6 weeks in the presidency. And while it's not traditionally a State of the Union, it's kind of amazing that he was able to say so many things that his administration has done so far. It sure sounded like a State of the Union. Let's talk to Kayleigh McEnany, who joins us once again, co-host of Outnumbered on Fox. Welcome back to the show, Kayleigh. Such a pleasure to have you on this day.
Hey, Annie. Great to be here.
Thank you. I want to give you the opportunity to react to the speech last night. Donald Trump, of course, the Democrats. What were your big takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, I was watching the Democrats closely. I knew President Trump would deliver an incredible address, and he did. It was interesting. It was a little different than past addresses. He added in some humor. I thought it was very well done. But the Democrats, you know, I thought perhaps they'd be a bit more measured because Nancy Pelosi had warned everyone to not be grist in the mill, in her words. You had James Carville saying, you know, it's time to play possum or play dead and find the right moment to perk up. And then last night, they went ballistic. You know, I saw them not stand for a pediatric cancer patient, a murdered college student, the apprehension of a terrorist, a freed American hostage. They never stood. And for, you know, anyone listening who might say, you know, oh, that's partisan politics. You know, they all play these games. Republicans have yelled out during States of the Union in the past or joint addresses. No. You know, I rewatched last year the State of the Union from President Biden. Sure, you have the occasional person who will have an antic here or there, but Republicans stood when he brought up the March on Selma. Republicans stood when he brought up freeing hostages from Hamas. You know, Republicans stood in these unifying moments about John Lewis. But last night, Democrats did not stand. And it was very, very shameful, and I doubt helped their approval ratings much.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It was it kind of became the headline. Donald Trump didn't trip up at all, didn't make any gaffes, didn't lose his place or anything. He did a great job delivering a great speech. And in the midst of that, the Democrats really decided to steal the headlines this morning. The one thing I noticed was the juxtaposition of how uncomfortable, just absolutely uncomfortable, the Democrats looked in there with the comfortability of Donald Trump delivering that speech. He felt like he had a mandate. He doesn't seem like he's trying to persuade anybody. The persuasion is done. He's ready to roll.
For sure. I mean, that's a great point because, you know, normally these events are buttoned up affairs. You know, you're very serious. You're very solemn at moments. And, you know, you kind of just stick to script. And Trump did that for 4 years. And last night, you know, he did that. He had his script, but he did something different. He would veer off on these moments where he was talking about spending and, you know, list out line items of absurd spending. And he got, you know, laughs from the congressmen and women. And then another point, you know, he's listing off the ages of Social Security beneficiaries that are very much not alive, you know, when you're 300 years old. And then he made a crack at the end. You know, we're healthier than I thought, RFK Jr. He had these humorous, yeah, extemporaneous moments as if, you know, he has relief. He's through the election. He's very comfortable. And it could not have been a starker contrast, to your point, to the Democrats who looked angry, rigid. And, you know, who wants to be at that party? I'll take the Donald Trump party if I have to pick one.
Yeah, absolutely. Kayleigh McEnany with us right now, co-host of Outnumbered on Fox. She's a former White House press secretary, author of Serenity in the Storm, a wonderful book you should check out. I'm curious about your personal experience of working with the president. I know you've spent a lot of time around him, been behind closed doors as you've worked with him. Do you see a difference in term two, Donald Trump, compared to what you experienced when you were the press secretary in term one?
Yes. You know, he understands Washington. He understands how to navigate. He's always been confident. I think confident is probably a top word that comes to mind if you think about President Trump. But he's confident in governing. He's always been confident in speech and in word. And I think, you know, he's confident in being a leader and a businessman. And he was confident in his first term. But he knows the ropes now. And not only that, you know, Donald Trump Jr. made the point, we had 4 years to sit back and think about what we wanted to do. And clearly that time was used wisely. He had 4 years in Washington. He learned about the bureaucracy. He learned about the pitfalls. He learned about, you know, how to get things done. And then when he comes back, he's still the same confident businessman, communicator, but with the confidence of being a chief executive who knows exactly how to execute a plan and can get over the tripwires that I think almost any Republican president faces, and him more than any of his predecessors, which is the tripwires that are laid by the bureaucracy, which, you know, you'll put forward an executive order and they undermine what you're trying to do every step of the way. Not this time. He has a confidence about him, and it's very evident.
Kayleigh, I'd like to play a clip for you because I want to get your thoughts on how, not just what Donald Trump says here, but how he says it. This is him speaking last night about being
shot
at. Our
country and its love like Corey's that is going to make our country more majestic than ever before. I believe that my life was saved that day in Butler for a very good reason. I was saved by God to make America great again. I believe that.
When you listen to him speaking there and saying that and referring to God, he's made many references to God since that event has happened. I feel like there's real sincerity when he delivers that line.
Yeah, I think there is. You know, I've spoken to him since then, and he communicated that to me as well. I think that is a very sincere articulation of him having a life-changing experience, and one that you can kind of see percolates throughout his presidency, to the point of, you know, his cabinet meeting. I think it was Scott Turner who opened that with prayer. I personally believe, and I don't know this, but I personally believe President Trump probably suggested that. I think there's been a real discernible change in him. And I think ending on that moment was very beautiful. And ending with the story of Corey Comparatore, someone he clearly has not forgotten about, will not forget about, you know, attended one of his rallies and lost his life. And I just thought it was the absolute nicest bow on top of what was a really wonderful, more than 90-minute address.
Yes, I agree with that too as well, Kaylee. One last question before we let you go. We've heard the joint address. You did a great job of laying out what has been done, but also where they're going. There are questions. There's uncertainty that exists because he's taking us into uncharted territory with the tariffs, with the Zelensky situation, with what he's been able to do in the southern border with his executive power. Does Donald Trump have the ability to play a long game here that America needs to just watch him do what he does?
I do. I think, look, no one wants to see the economy succeed more than President Trump. Yes, I agree. We're in uncharted waters. The last thing anyone wants to see is tariffs cause high pricing. But I know that this is a president who understands the economy and understands when to pull back, when to push forward, and to what end to do that and to use these moves strategically. I saw a headline just as I was rushing out that, you know, he's pondering giving an exemption to auto tariffs, which I think is already him thinking through making moves. I know I saw Truth Social that he had a conversation this morning with Justin Trudeau of Canada. He said it went, you know, pretty well. So I think he's constantly having conversations, thinking through these things. How can I, you know, rectify these trade imbalances but at the same time not cause hurt and pain to the American people? So I think he knows those fault lines and is very mindful of that.
Well, we are only 6 weeks in, so there's still time for his plans to take hold and benefit the American people. Thank you, Kaylee, for the time today. We're very grateful for it. We look forward to having you back again.
Thanks so much, Danny.
Take care. Bye-bye. Kaylee McEnany, co-host of Outnumbered on Fox. She's a former White House press secretary as well. A great author. If you're looking for a good, her two books, For Such a Time as This, I think is the first one. I read that one. It was about her entry into the administration, what it was like to work for Donald Trump. It was during COVID, so it was a lot of insight there, but also she has a very unique perspective. She's young children. I just found it to be a very refreshing read. Serenity in the Storm is her latest as well. Check those books out. I'm happy to hear her say, especially with that line about, I believe God saved me, because that is a line that you could say that's going to make people go, oh, he's saying the right things. But I do believe when I listen to him say that, and I've heard him deliver that line multiple times, in my judgment, which, you know, is worth whatever, I think he really believes it. And it's in my Christian faith, I think about everything surrounding what he has had to deal with as a human being on this planet. And if this brings him to a place where he has an active, fruitful faith, what a story that is.
I was really glad that you asked that question of her, because she does have that unique perspective of knowing him first term, working very closely with him, and now being a national voice. So, and she said she spoke with him recently, and that she said, in her words, I think she said it was a discernible difference talking about God. That's the important stuff. You know, whenever we talk about the budget and stuff, I always like to just throw out the term. Hey, remember, we're talking about the budget. Remember, in the context of $36 trillion in debt. I think the same thing is true of a person, especially a president, to remember this is a guy who was almost killed. He so narrowly avoided being shot in the head.
From a head turn. I mean, he was shot in the head.
Yes.
But he could have had his head blown off.
That when he, and it doesn't matter whether it's him or anybody else, when that point gets brought up, remember that this man was almost assassinated, and now he's the president in his second term that was separated. that's another great time to just sort of step back and reflect. Yeah, all the little things that we're dealing with, they're big things, I get it. They're national things, they're international things. But maybe there's a plan here. You know, it kind of puts things into perspective for you.
The reason I highlight that, I mean, he said a ton of things last night. We're going to Mars. We're going to put a flag on Mars.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the most selfish opinion I have. I'm like, that's not going to help me. I don't need that. So much is going to have to happen. I guess if you want to colonize Mars, you got to start somewhere. But it's not as though, I hope not, that my children or myself are going to be Martians one day.
You don't know.
I do know that.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm clinging to this
group. Well, I guess all your kids would have been born on Earth, so they'd be Earthlings, but their kids.
What do you mean they would be? They are.
They are Earthlings.
Yeah.
No matter even if they move to Mars. But your grandkids, they could be Martians.
Illegal or legal immigrants?
It depends on birthright citizenship.
Fair. What was your favorite part of last night's speech? Did you listen to the whole thing, or did you only listen to it in clips?
No, I was doing the same thing as you, I think, because I was dealing with two of the boys being home and then homework. And
so did you have it on?
The whole first part of it, well, actually, the first 15 minutes I missed because we were doing stuff. Then from then on, I pretty much saw the whole thing other than maybe a little bit. So my favorite part was the part that stuck with me the most. And this is just personal because it just stuck with me. It didn't say anything larger, or maybe it did for you. It didn't for me. It was just like, wow, what a neat moment. Was when he announced that kid had made it into West Point.
Yes!
I mean, it was just cool.
Yeah, and the delivery.
He was so excited. The kid was so excited. He clearly didn't know it was coming. And then when he's telling the personal stories, which every president does in a State of the Union, the kid that he had talked about right before that, the little kid who had beat cancer,
brain cancer,
or was still—I think he's still battling it.
I think he beat it.
Well, I hope so. But he had it several times. Mm-hmm. So that's why I can't remember if he was still dealing with it. But they had just got done telling his story. Then they talk about the kid. Oh, you made it to West Point. And this kid's face lights up. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened on national TV. It's unbelievable. And then the kid from the previous story walks up behind him and just gives him a high five. And you're like, that's cool.
Like, this is our day, guy.
Yeah, because he had just been announced that he was an honorary Secret Service agent.
Yeah.
That's just cool.
Carolyn Leavitt's giving a press briefing right now, and they're talking about some tariff things. I want to dip into that here real quick. If we've got to move Wiggins America, we might end up doing that. But let's see what kind of news is coming out of the White House here the day after the joint address. Carolyn Leavitt is at the podium and getting asked questions. She's done a great job so far, but with the tariff thing, it's a minute by minute.
Good to see you in here.
It's a minute by minute developing story. So let's listen in.
Can you confirm that President Hill talks with the big three automakers today, speaking about potentially delaying tariffs?
I can confirm, and I'm glad that you asked, because the president sent me out here with a statement directly from him on this. I saw it was reported earlier today by Bloomberg News, and he wanted me to share this with all of you. We spoke with the big three auto dealers. We are going to give a 1 month exemption on any autos coming through USMCA. Reciprocal tariffs will still go into effect on April 2nd, but at the request of the companies associated with USMCA, the president is giving them an exemption for 1 month so they are not at an economic disadvantage. So the three companies that he spoke to are Stellantis, Ford, and General Motors. They requested the call, they made the ask, and the president is happy to do it. It's a 1 month exemption.
And the president just posted on social media that he has spoken with Prime Minister Trudeau. He says he's not satisfied with what the Prime Minister has said when it comes to fentanyl, but less than 1%, as you know, less than 1% of the fentanyl seized last year was in the northern border. What else does Canada need to do?
Well, the president did just put out a statement on his call with the governor, Justin Trudeau, as he calls him, of Canada. And he said that he was not pleased, as you said. He said it's not good enough. He told Prime Minister Justin Trudeau that directly. The call ended in a somewhat friendly manner, as the president said, but he's not going to stop standing up for the American people. And to answer your question directly when it comes to fentanyl, for the last 4 years, unfortunately, our neighbors to the north and the south, Canada, Canada and Mexico, respectively, have allowed America to be a dumping ground, not just for illegal aliens, but for illegal, poisonous, deadly fentanyl, which is now the number one killer of young people in this country aged 18 to 34. Through the northern border in Canada, last fiscal year alone, there was enough fentanyl seized to kill 4.8 billion people. And that number is up 2,050% from 2023, the year before. So there's been more than a 2,000% increase in illegal fentanyl seizure at the northern border. Why? Because Canada is allowing that fentanyl to come to the United States. The president sees these numbers. He thinks about the lives that are lost. And everybody in this room, I'm sure, everybody watching at home, everybody across the country knows someone in our lives who has been killed at the hands of this deadly poison. There needs to be repercussions for that. The president feels very strongly about it.
But Caroline, respectfully, it's just 43 pounds that were found last year. That's less than a carry-on suitcase. Is that a lot of fentanyl compared to, say, Mexico? The vast majority of the fentanyl is brought in through Mexico, not Canada. So what else does Canada need to do?
Well, I just told you, last year alone, there was a 2,000% increase in illegal fentanyl.
But it's only
You're asking me for what the president's justification is for these tariffs. It's not up to you. You're not the president, Gabe. And frankly, I think it's a little bit disrespectful to the families in this country who have lost loved ones at the hands of this deadly poison. If you talk to them, and this president has, they are grateful that they finally have a president who is standing up to both Canada and Mexico, and most importantly, to China as well. The president added an additional 10% tariff on China because this deadly poison is being produced in that country. It's being distributed through our neighbors, and there needs to be consequences for that, period. Peter.
Thank you, Caroline. If the U.S. has a longstanding policy that we do not negotiate with terrorists, then why is the U.S. now negotiating directly and for the first time ever with Hamas?
Well, when it comes to the negotiations that you're referring to, first of all, the special envoy who's engaged in those negotiations does have the authority to talk to anyone. Israel was consulted on this matter. And look, dialogue and talking to people around the world to do what's in the best interest of the American people is something that the president has proven is what he believes is a good faith effort to do what's right for the American people.
Is it just about the hostages, or are they also talking about the president's plan to take over Gaza?
These are ongoing talks and discussions. I am not going to detail them here. There are American lives at stake. I would defer you to the Department of State for further details, but I'm not going to get into those talks here at this podium.
We know that some officials here were miffed that Zelensky showed up last week without a suit for his meeting in the Oval Office, but Elon Musk never wears a suit.
He did last night.
So what is the dress code?
Well, Elon Musk wore a suit last night. I'm sure you saw it.
Was he spooked by Zelensky getting kicked out?
No, I don't think so. I'm just pointing out that he did wear a suit last night. And I think the president liked that very much. And he looked great. Speaking of the president, he just passed me a note while I'm standing here. He wanted me to hold this up. This is the poll that I cited, the CBS YouGov poll that shows that 76% of those who watched the president's speech last night approved of his speech. And so it goes to my earlier point that I made in my monologue about how incredibly sad it is that we have a modern-day Democrat Party who is so severely out of touch with the American public. This is a great poll. The ultimate poll, though, came on November 5th when the president won by an overwhelming margin that he spoke about last night. Democrats weren't happy to hear that either. Weijia.
Thank you, Caroline. Back on tariffs, last night President Trump said there will be a little disturbance, but we're okay with that. Can you put a dollar figure amount on how much the average American family should expect to pay as this disturbance? And why should Americans be okay with that when so many are already struggling to pay the bills?
Well, first of all, last night, the president told the truth. And he was realistic, and he level set with the American people. And I think, frankly, it's very refreshing, and everybody in this room should be very grateful that we have a president who tells the truth about the reality of the economic situation that we are in, unlike the previous president who lied to everybody's faces, saying inflation was transitory, saying it was under control, saying that the border was secure, when none of that was true. So the president is being frank and honest, and the American people elected this president to have monumental reform and change, including rebuilding our manufacturing base in this country, standing up to foreign nations who have been ripping off our country for decades. And that requires a little bit of disruption. That requires a lot of effort and work that this president is focused on doing. With that said, as the president said last night, his administration is wholeheartedly committed, of course, to ending the inflation nightmare caused by the Biden administration. Look at the deregulation efforts. Look at the president's push last night in his speech for Congress to pass tax cuts, to end taxes on Social Security and overtime pay for hardworking Americans, end taxes on tips. We need Congress to get that done because that's going to put more money back into the pockets of the American people. And I didn't even mention energy. Look at the president's approach and focus on unleashing the might of our energy industry. We know that's the number one driver of inflation. He's been slashing back a lot of the burdensome regulation from the previous administration to unleash our energy industry here at home, which will drive down costs. He said he is committed to making America affordable again. He did it in his first term, and Americans can trust him to do it again.
President Trump has made clear, Caroline, that he loves tariffs, but the stock market does not. How does he factor that into his decision making?
Well, the president does love tariffs. He said it's one of his favorite words of the English dictionary, and he believes in tariffs because they'll ultimately make America rich again. They're going to raise revenue. They're going to help us pay down our debt. Most importantly, they're going to bring American jobs here back home. So I think for folks on Wall Street who may be concerned, look at what this president did for you in his first term. Wall Street boomed. Stock market boomed. The president expects that to happen again. But most importantly, Main Street is going to boom. And that's why the president has this whole of government economic approach, which includes tax cuts, tariffs, regulation cuts, and an energy industry that will bring down costs for American consumers. Sure, Monica.
Thank you, Caroline. You mentioned not one Democrat senator voted to protect women's sports from males. Not one Democrat congressman or congresswoman stood to applaud or support protecting women's spaces and sports at the president's joint session to Congress last night, as you articulately mentioned in the beginning. So I'm wondering, what message is that sending to not only young women who are competing in these sports across the country, but also to the parents of these young girls?
Yeah. I think the message that Americans should take away from last night is that they have a president in the Oval Office who is committed to doing what's right for them, especially women and girls across the country. And I think it's very ironic, thank you for bringing up the point about women, that Democrat women were wearing pink to support our fellow females, yet they couldn't stand, again, for a young woman who was almost killed and severely injured by a man on the volleyball court. They couldn't stand for the mothers of two beautiful young women whose lives were taken tragically at the hands of illegal people. So you can't say you're the party of women and then support men and women's sports and not stand up for basic law and order and immigration reform that will protect women in this country. That's what President Trump is doing. He's the president for women. Okay. Lindsay, good to see you.
Thank you, Caroline. Good to see you. So speaking of tariffs, China said yesterday that they're ready for any kind of war with the U.S. Because of these tariffs that have been placed on them. And a Chinese spokesperson also said that the tariffs would not lead to a resolution of U.S. concerns about fentanyl originating in China. Can you speak to how the administration is planning on responding to that?
Well, I think Secretary Hegseth has responded to that this morning. He said that America will always be prepared to defend itself, especially under the leadership of this president in the Oval Office. And that certainly remains true. Again, when it comes to tariffs, the president has been very tough on China, not just now with 20% and more with the reciprocal tariffs that will hit on April 2nd, but look at what he did in his first term. There were billions of dollars worth of tariffs that he implemented on China, and it's quite telling that the previous administration did not rescind those tariffs because they realized the value that they had in not only deterring China, but also raising revenue here in the United States. Rachel.
Thanks, Caroline. Just a quick follow-up, two quick follow-ups on tariffs. The president mentioned a little disturbance during his remarks yesterday. The CEO of Target says that consumers will likely see prices go up on everything from strawberries to bananas, to avocados. How long should Americans expect to pay higher prices? Are we talking a week, a couple of days, a few months?
Again, I don't have a crystal ball, but what I can assure the American people is that this president and this administration is doing everything they can. And I would remind you and everybody else in this room that it's because of the previous administration's economic policies that Americans were left with record high inflation. Inflation throughout Joe Biden's entire 48 months in office was at or above 3%. It hit record highs, as you know. And there's a whole list of what the Biden economic economic disaster this president was left to clean up. It's been a month, but he's working hard every single day to do just that.
Just one quick follow-up on the carve-out. Sorry to cut you off there. The U.S. imported $43 million worth of eggs from Canada. I know you mentioned some of the exemptions when it comes to automakers. Will there be any other carve-outs, including for eggs? We know prices are soaring for Americans.
The president is open to hearing about additional exemptions. He always has open dialogue, and he'll always do, you know, what's right, what he believes is right for the American people. But again, as for the egg crisis in this country, the president is wholeheartedly committed to ensuring we're increasing our egg supply, and we're also bringing down cost. And Secretary Rawlins has been all over this issue. She comes from an agricultural background and family. That's why she's leading that very important department. She wrote an amazing op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. She's been all over the media talking about her plan. She has a real plan. The president endorses it. And he even, you know, gave her an off-the-prompter shout-out last night to say, Brooke, I'm counting on you. It's an important issue. And this White House is working with Secretary of Agriculture every single day to address this issue. Sure. Jordan.
Thanks, Caroline. So what does it say that the Democrats, while they couldn't stand for Americans or stand for victims, they stood for war and clapped for war and clapped for five more years of war?
Yeah, you know, the president addressed that last night, I think, when he called out Senator Elizabeth Warren and said that, as I said in my opening speech, very telling that the Democrats refused to clap for American people and American interests and American priorities, but they did clap for the country of Ukraine, which, by the way, the president's working very hard to end that war. So Democrats should be applauding him for actually doing something about it.
Follow up on that, if I can.
Sure.
You've spoken recently about how what happened in the Oval Office last we gave Americans an inside look into behind-the-scenes discussions with Zelensky. Is this how he treated Joe Biden and just treated him disrespectfully and received billions of dollars?
Well, it's a very interesting question. I don't know if anybody in here asked my predecessor who stood at this podium about that, but there was a report from NBC News that President Biden also got increasingly frustrated with President Zelensky when he was handing out blank checks and President Zelensky kept asking for more. Joe Biden was quite frustrated with that. So again, as I've said repeatedly, Friday revealed the frustrations that this administration has had in closed-door negotiations with the Ukrainians. However, President Zelensky did put out a statement yesterday, which we believe is a positive step forward. And National Security Advisor Mike Waltz has been talking to his Ukrainian counterparts. And so we're in the midst of this, and we'll see what happens next.
Carolyn Leavitt reporting or answering to the press there and doing a very good job of it, I might add. Getting to the bottom, everything that the majority of what people want to know about is tariffs. And we've said this a million times, the tariff isn't the end game. A better deal for the United States is the end game. So it's going to be back and forth. There are going to be lots of questions about tariffs because as deals are being made, she's said before, too, like, and so is Donald Trump. Work is being done right now. When Donald Trump was standing at the podium with Lutnick and, as you remember, and the guy from Taiwan that was investing the $100 billion in chips in the Arizona area, he's like, he was talking about Ukraine. He's like, negotiations are taking place right now. This is a very fast-paced environment. And again, the fact that we're just 6 weeks into this, I continue to ask myself, is this going to keep up the pace? Is it take all of this so fast, all at once, all of this juggling right now in order to get things back on track? And then it kind of slows down because we've righted the ship? Or are we 4 years of this? Because, man, hold on tight if it is.
You mentioned just now Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a big fan of his. I don't know if I mentioned that yesterday.
The fanboy group.
But he actually gave a mini press conference after the State of the Union last night, just in the rotunda or whatever, the hallways outside of the main room there, and he outlined like what you're saying. He's saying, look, the next 4 years, we're going to radically transform everything. We're going to get our budget back. It's going to be crazy. That's basically what he was saying to all the media standing there. So I just don't know if this pace does stop. I mean, they are doing things very different.
It's fun to watch. So fun to watch. When I see people all the time, if I haven't seen them in a while, so how's work? That's what they say to me. How's work? And I'm like, you know. It's
if
good.
You're asking,
it's
you know.
Good. It's good, at least it is at this point. We're going to speak in the next hour with DeRoy Murdoch. And then after we talk to DeRoy, we'll get done with talking to him probably about 1:20. We'll take a break. And then I'd like to get your thoughts on the joint address. Did you love the speech? Did you hate the speech? What are you thinking? What do you want to know more of? Let's get you in the conversation at 125. Write the number down right now. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. You join the conversation at 125. We talk with DeRoy Murdoch next on The Annie Fry Show.